I was very, very curious about this rapture that they were always talking about. I was very, very curious about this thing they call the first resurrection. And quite frankly, I was in what they call a Missionary Baptist church that was a landmark Missionary Baptist church, which is neither here nor there for what I'm talking about. And there was lots of things that they taught me that I believed, and I've been through seminaries, universities, colleges, you name it. But I have discovered that this is a very, very complicated subject. And so I've been talking about the time when, back in the way back there, they began to teach that a thing called the first of the week position. They taught a first of the week position. They taught a mid-trib position for the rapture. They taught a seventh trumpet rapture. They taught just about everything. And I just went back and I researched it. You say, well, how well did you research it? Well, I guarantee you it had been lost historically. I traveled all over the world. And I went in colleges, university, Oxford, Cambridge. I traveled to Missionary Baptist churches all over the world. I had 700 different revivals. So I'm not somebody that just took this as a kind of a whim. And so I wanted to finish this before I died. I'm 85, so the chance of me dying is pretty good. And so I hope you'll pay attention to this. And if you've never heard it before, it's called Daniel's 70th week. And it's something that's been around for a long time. But when the actual movement began, for the great evangelical movement, and the worldwide awakening began back in before the actual first of the week position ever came into existence. What they teach today is quite different. So if you've never heard this before, I urge you to give it a chance. And one of the reasons I pass this out is because the first week I came up here, I pointed out a line that ran from Washington down to Charleston. And I've still got the original lecture I presented. And I told people that it was a crack in the crust of the earth. It was not a normal fault. It was not a regular fault. It was not created by water. It was not created by an earthquake. It just came there, and it was probably a series of earthquakes, but there it was. It didn't move much. Whenever it moved, it's just a little bit. Been doing that for a long time. So when I saw that, I just put it out and showed it to people, and I will show it to you as I go along in this. But a strange thing happened. All of a sudden, another one occurred that went right up through New Madrid. And it crossed it from the south and made a direct intercession with it. So I'll be talking about that later. That's why I've got it on the back of it here. You can take this home with you. If you have any questions, well, you can call me. And I'm ill. I just put it bluntly. I could die any time. And I have a hard time getting around. And so I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here. Really would like to leave early, but I want to be here as long as God wants me here, and so we'll just leave it at that. Now, when was the mountain appointed to the disciples? September 22nd, 2017. We will finally see the end of the warning God gave us in the end of the age of his coming on a single swipe. We'll still see chaotic disasters like the current one, the one you've been watching for several weeks, the one who's caused very irregular meteorological weather all the way across the United States by the particular way that the clouds lay on top of one another. That's what I did in the military. For some 35 years, I was a professional certified meteorologist, and I did exactly what you see those fellows on television do. We took our radars out of the nose of the old B-17s, which were pretty antique, and they had a very wide beam width, so they weren't anything to compare with what we have today. But I followed constant absolute vorticity trajectories, which they still do. I've written articles for the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society, so I know what I'm doing. I understood everything they were doing on there. It's a very, very difficult job, so I empathize and sympathize with them. But we're finally going to see the end of the swipe that we just had. It's going to end, and this stuff will move out. It may get a little rain and a little strong wind along the coast up there near Hatteras, but it's leaving. Now, we'll still see chaotic disasters like the current one, but for now the U.S. will get much-needed relief. The Bible indicated this was going to come, what has already come. And then it said there would be, and this was it's followed right along in chronological order, it said there would be a period that of 1.5 hours in heaven of silence. Well, preachers used to tell, jokingly, the hour and a half of silence in heaven that occurred after what you've just seen in one place in the United States. It said there'd be an earthquake, and it said there would be something that would happen after that. And it said that before that there would be something where there would be silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. You can look at all this in Revelation. So we'll still see chaotic disasters like the current one, but for now the U.S. will get a lot of relief. Now, I've got enough here to last a long time. I'll be glad to answer your questions on it if you'll call or give them to Terry or somebody over there, because quite frankly, some days I just don't make it up. And so I'm in pretty good shape today, so I hope I can cover a lot of ground. Now, the 11 disciples went to an appointed mountain after Jesus was resurrected. You say, well, what happened to the 12th? That was Judas Iscariot. And the Lord appointed them to go to an appointed mountain after he was resurrected. Later on, they went to that appointed mountain, which was the mount where the Beatitudes were given. And one of the Beatitudes that a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to is the first Beatitude. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this, because it means exactly what it says. Do you think you're pretty strong in the faith? Are you pretty proud of yourself? Because I'm strong in the faith. Are you? Just how strong are you? I am strong. No, you're not. The very first Beatitude in the 5th chapter of Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, I'm not poor in spirit. Well, I would recommend that you let the Lord teach you how poor in spirit you are. You say, well, I'm not poor in spirit, and God told me to get out there and get on fire for Jesus. You may think that's what he told you to do, but he told you that your life needed to change, that you yourself needed to let him do what he did to Peter, convert his way of thinking. Now, you can ignore this, throw it out the window, and just wait and see if it's correct. I believe it's correct, or I sure wouldn't be going out on a limb. But I've been wrong before about different things, and so I might be wrong about this, but I certainly don't think so. You say, well, you must think you're strong in spirit. No. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, what have you done to deserve to be in the kingdom of heaven? God has humbled me. God has shown me that I wasn't all that strong in the spirit. God has shown me and told me directly in his word. What has he told me? He has told me that all power in heaven and in earth is given unto him. All power in heaven and under earth is given to him. So how much does that leave you? You say, well, I want all of it. You're going to have to depend on his. You're going to have to trust him. You're going to have to believe that what he tells you is true. What he said was that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I went to all these schools. I did all this thing I was supposed to do because I really wanted to know about this. You know what I discovered? I'm carnal, sold under sin. You said, is God carnal, sold under sin? God forbid. No. I've got a brother that believes that Jesus sinned. I feel sorry for him. I pray all the time about him. But Jesus never sinned. Why? That God might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. That's the reason. Now, these 11 disciples go to an appointed mountain after Jesus was resurrected. I think that was where he taught the Beatitudes. It was after his resurrection he told them, go to this mountain. He appointed them. They knew where to go. He spoke to disciples on an appointed mountain after his resurrection, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God fulfilled the offices of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One God. We don't have three gods. We have one God. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He fulfilled the three offices of the Son, of the Father, and the Holy Spirit. He said, well, I'm going to leave just as soon as I get out of here because that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Stick around a few days. He said, well, I might become a heretic. No, you won't become a heretic because if you've got all this strong faith you've sent you have, surely you can resist this. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you what will happen and see if it happens. Then maybe I do know what I'm talking about. I'm not a prophet. The law and the prophets were until John. And John said, John the Baptist, John said that he was unworthy to unlatch the shoe that Jesus walked around in. John the Baptist was quite a man. Yet Jesus said that he was the least in the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, what was so unique about John? John didn't think very highly of himself. But he thought very highly of the Lord. Quite frankly, I thought very highly of the Lord, but I thought very highly of myself. I don't anymore. You can say anything you want about me. You can run me down any way you want, and it doesn't bother me in the least. You say, well, you must think you're one of the two witnesses. I've been accused of that, but God knows I am not one of the two witnesses. God knows that for sure. And I never claimed to be one of the two witnesses. You say, well, doesn't that bother you? No, because it shows that I'm trying to teach what God had to say, and you're not going to have people following you around saying, I sure do like you, buddy. What you're going to have are people that don't believe what you have to say, but if you love God, you'll keep on saying it no matter what. He spoke to disciples on an appointed mountain after his resurrection, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what he said. And go ye therefore and teach all nations, I do, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This church baptizes them by church authority, which was delivered to the churches who were still teaching what Jesus taught when he was having his earthly ministry, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Don't worry about what's going on in what we're seeing out there. This thing is over. We'll probably have a little high wind on the thing. This is what I did in the service. This is what I was taught. That's what I was trained. We'd go up to the University of Chicago. It was an institution of higher learning, or they'd send us to another place, and we'd learn all this stuff. I didn't understand why, but now I do. You say, well, where's your confidence? That my confidence is in God. You say, who is God? God is God in whom all the power of heaven and earth is vested. It says so very clearly. I trust him. I believe what he says. And the devil doesn't. You say, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, congratulations, my brother doesn't either. And the truth of the matter is, there is a devil, and he is very active. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, I'm not threatening you with anything. I'm just telling you, you better give this a second thought if you don't agree with it. I don't mind if you don't agree with it, except for your sake. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Man will see a steady but slow increase in worldwide quake and volcanic occurrences. That was in the first book I ever wrote. And you will be able to see as it will be manifested by world reports. Did you know there were about 13 or 16 words that are translated as sea, S-E-E? Would you like me to tell you what one of them was? I'm going to tell you. One of the words was this. One of the words was, it means like 2 and 2 is 4. Did I have to write anything on the wall for you to understand it? No. It's that kind of see. A person says, oh, I see. But all these diagrams and things they have are interesting. But the truth of the matter is, it's not that complicated. So I want you to take this home, look at it, ask your pastor about it. I'm sure if he's the first of the week or mid-trib or whatever, he won't believe it. But that's okay. You're supposed to have a mind of your own, and I hope you'll take it home and take a look at it. Why would I tell you this if I didn't care about you and if I didn't understand what I was doing? Because I'll have to explain this in heaven. And I know that what I'm teaching you is correct. And I can't tell you the day, the week, the month, or the year that Jesus is coming. But I can jolly well tell you that it's not a long, long way off. He says, man will see a steady but slow increase in worldwide quake and volcanic occurrences that you will be able to see as it will be manifested by world reports. You won't have to be there to see it. If you know the Lord is your Savior, if you're trusting in Him, if you believe all power in heaven and earth is given unto Him which He claims, if you believe the first beatitude itself in Matthew chapter 5, where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You say, well, now, wait a minute. I'm not poor in spirit. You know who taught me I was poor in spirit? Almighty God. It was Jesus Christ that taught me. You say, well, do you like being that? Oh, I love it. I love every moment of it. Because I don't have to sit around and worry about going to heaven because of my conduct. You say, do you know you're saved? Absolutely. By grace. That's how God saves. You say, well, what happened after that? God said He wanted me to walk a straight and narrow way. Problem is, only one man ever did that. The Son of the living God. God told me in His Word that I needed to follow His Holy Spirit. And I'm trying. You say, well, if you goof up, you won't go to heaven. You believe that? How do you ever sleep at night? You goof up all the time and learn to convince yourself, well, I don't believe that. You better seriously think about it. He said, 70 weeks of Daniel 9:24-27, this is part 5. What a difference a he makes. More than 35 years ago, I accepted the pastorate of Dardanelle Missionary Baptist Church. While still a seminary student, I attended the University of Arkansas in Little Rock and Arkansas Tech University during the summers of my time in seminary because it did not offer summer courses. I graduated from the seminary in 1975 while enrolled full-time at Arkansas Tech University, from which I graduated and began teaching at Dardanelle High School in 1977. I have not changed my beliefs on any of the things I was taught in seminary concerning salvation, security of the believer, the two church ordinances, or the local identity of the church. Do you know what they are? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have any idea? Or does this seem like some kind of a dark riddle to you? Because I never heard that before. Well, let me tell you, what I teach was taught before 1730, And I have offered $500 to anybody who can find anything that teaches anything other than what I'm teaching, except those first of the weekers. And they all came after that, the mid-tribbers. And it's just not there. You say, well, I'm a first of the weeker, I'm a mid-tribber. I'm sorry, but you're going to have a rough time. Secure the belief of the two church ordinances or the local identity of the church. However, there are many things I have believed in the identity of the church. There are many things I once believed in prophecy that I am no longer able to teach with any conviction. I came to Dardanelle Missionary Baptist Church like Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail, believing I was ready to teach prophecy. As I studied the doctrines of salvation, the church ordinance, I discovered reams of scripture that would fit all the diagrams from which I was teaching prophecy. I found very few did not have to distort. I retired as a synoptic analyst in the National Security Agency, and I did that in 1971. I worked for them. I forecast hurricanes all over the earth. And we had situations we call them cyclones over where I was stationed part of the time. I forecast them all over the earth. So I'm not a Johnny-come-lately at this. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, check it out. I've never been challenged. Because when they check it out, they discover that what I said about the Beatitude itself, the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm poor in spirit. You know why? Because the Lord said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Therefore, go forward and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you think this is heresy, you don't believe it, you don't like it. For your own sake, check it and see if you can make it heretical. It isn't. I'm not a New Lighter. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm a missionary Baptist from Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. I was raised and taught the things that were taught when Jesus was here. And some churches, back when I was a child, the majority of people didn't teach the first of the week. You say, well, you're 85. You say, you mean they've changed a lot? You would not believe what they have changed. You say, well, I just always accepted it because they said so and I have respected them. Well, you better learn that when you get before the judgment seat of Christ, you better check it out and make sure that they did, because I don't ask any money from you. This church doesn't ask any money for you. We don't take up offerings. We don't beg for money on the television. We just do what God wanted us to do, and here we are. And we would love to have you as a member. But the truth of the matter is, you get saved when you finally realize God has all power in heaven and earth. His name is Jesus Christ. And you trust in him for salvation. That's when you get saved. And after that, you learn to walk with him. However, there are many things I once believed in prophecy that I'm no longer able to teach with any conviction. I was teaching scriptures that would fit all diagrams from which I was teaching prophecy. I found very few that I did not have to distort. Now, when I say distort, I don't mean I lied. But I went in 700 missionary Baptist churches on just about every continent on this earth. And when I went in, what I told them was, when I would come to the part about the rapture, and there were my diagrams, I would take my order. This, God would not let me preach this. And I understand it. I just said, okay, whatever. You say, how do you know when he doesn't like it? I just know. He said, well, I wish you'd explain that. I just know. That's all I can tell you. And so when I would go somewhere, and they'd have this diagram where they had a long gap in there, first of the week, last of the week, and they would have all the people raptured out at the first of the week, and they would go all the way across to the end. And there I was. And I said, you all know when I believe the rapture is going to occur, don't you? Is this lying? Well, God didn't bother me about it. And I prayed and prayed and prayed about it before I ever presented it. I would take my pointer and go up and down like this, all the way across that great big open space between the rapture and seventh trumpet rapture, or the first of the week rapture, to the end, and I would say, now the rapture is going to occur right in here. You know what would happen? They'd say, I know when it's going to happen, the first of the week. They said, Brother Mike, why don't you believe the first of the week? I said, it's going to happen somewhere right in here. And that's all I'd ever tell them. It wasn't, I didn't want them to know, and I didn't know. All I knew was there's going to be a lot of people called flat-footed that trusted in themselves but didn't trust in the power of Almighty God, and I don't want you to be one of them. Now, he said, all the pieces of salvation, church ordinances, puzzle came together and formed a perfect picture of conformity, but the many pieces of the prophecy puzzle simply would not mesh together because I symbolized or spiritualized to a massive degree. I found that in our work there was harmonious agreement on the doctrines of salvation, the two church ordinances, the church itself, but in the prophecy of first of the weekers, mid-tribbers, rapturist, or pre-mid, seventh trump, post-split, and progressive positions. See all those things there? Where do you think they came from? They're wrong. They're wrong. You say, well, I don't want to take the time to go back and check this out for myself. I would advise you to. I would love to preach just first of the week if that was true, because I'd be a lot more popular and everybody would love me. But that is not what I was called to do. I knew there had to be a reason. Split rapturist, mid, seventh trumpet, post, split, and progressive positions. I knew there had to be a reason for these great divisions. In a historical search to see if all of them have always existed, and if not, when did each one arise? What I found brought back memories of the earliest teachings I had as a teenager. Before 1827, only three positions were taught: the last of the week, the seventh trumpet, and the mid-trumpet positions. And the mid-trumpet position was born in 1788. See updates 73 and 73D. We have a website. It's HTTP, www.tribulationtriad.com. I can't hear you, Ken.
It's on the front page. It's on the page.
I'm deaf, so let me just try to do this in a way you can understand it. Take a look at our website. I was in my right mind when I was back in the military and when I was doing all this thing, but I've gotten old, I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm anxious for the Lord to come. I'd like to go home. I'd like to die right now. But that's not what God will. That's just not what God wants me to do, and so I don't do it. During all research, I also discovered something that shocked me with memories of a position I had heard when I was a teenager. Before 1800, the vast majority of Bible expositors believed that he was the true one. Jesus Christ or Antiochus Epiphanes. You want to know who Antiochus Epiphanes is? Look it up in any encyclopedia, look it up in any historical document. But I guarantee you, he wasn't the Antichrist. And he had nothing to do with any rapture like position we have to now. I'm convinced they were correct. Daniel 9:27. And he shall fully confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Look, I have researched this more than any human being that ever lived, because I've gone back and looked at all their writings as far back as I can go. I've studied the scriptures until I'm blue in the face. And you say, well, don't you make a lot of money? I don't want a lot of money. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I don't want your money. What I want and hope for is that you'll consider what I'm preaching. I was fully aware of all this by 1992. But out of cowardice as to what I knew I would face from the bulk of my brethren, my own brethren in the ABA, I would only teach it at Dardanelle Missionary Baptist Church. My cowardice certainly did not lead me to lie to the brethren. I simply stopped talking about the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week in my lectures. I have firmly believed that the seventh trumpet rapposition, I have firmly believed it since 1982. Knowing that I must face my Savior and give account of all I have taught from His Word, I decided to publicly declare that I truly believe about Daniel 9:27. For better or for worse, many of the men who taught and regret ever having known me, but many of the men who taught and me prophecy, whom I love and deeply respect, may well denounce me and regret ever having known me. But I will one day continue to keep this to myself. I can't stop. I've got to do this. That's why you're here. You didn't come here by accident. I was taught synoptic analysis in the Air Weather Service, National Security Agencies. And I did exactly what you've been watching on television all week long. The weather for the last 2 years has been the weirdest I've ever seen in my life, and I was trained to detect it. The synoptic object of the contextual discourse in every verse of Daniel 9:24-27 is Messiah the Prince, Jesus Christ. In verse 4, Jesus is the Most Holy, who is anointed. In verse 25, Jesus is Messiah the Prince. In verse 26, Jesus is identified as Messiah who is cut off. And in verse 27, is the He who confirmed God's blood covenant at His death in the midst of the week of Daniel's 70 years, weeks of years. Amen. Daniel has already confirmed most of the first 3.5 years of the last week of the 7 prophetic years. The prophet Isaiah, who wrote some 150 years before Daniel, whose writings were probably in Daniel's possession when he wrote during the Babylonian captivity, wrote of the one who would fulfill the covenant of Daniel 9:27. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will build and will hold thine hand, and I keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. How did the Jews look at Daniel 9:24-27 at the time of Christ's birth? I learned to speak conversational Hebrew so I could talk to the Jews. And then I fly on planes, I would talk to rabbis. They were very willing to listen. And I learned a lot about what the Jews believed. Were any of those in the Middle East expecting His coming on the scene in the near? Henry H. Haley, in his well-known Bible handbook of 1927, wrote the following concerning the expectation of the Messiah. Josephus, Tacitus, and Synonicus state that there was general expectancy over the East and the time for the Messiah to appear was at hand. It was based, partly at least, on Daniel's 70-week prophecy in Daniel 9:24-27. By the popular interpretation, at that time, the 70 weeks were understood to mean 70 sevens of years, That is 490. The decree is to rebuild Jerusalem on which they were to be reckoned, Daniel 9:25, was issued in 457 B.C. Hence the time was about up. The Son of God was about to appear. Now, I got 5 minutes, and if I don't ever see you again, I wish you well. I'm going to talk more about this from now on. I encourage you to keep that. Before you go to your preacher who teaches the first of the week, middle of the week, or whatever, I encourage you to read it for yourself. Because, my Lord, what I came to understand after I studied it shocked me. I'm amazed at how many preachers never went back and checked it out for themselves. You say, well, aren't you a good lollipopper? No, I'm not. But I'm someone who encourages you to very seriously listen to this. And I'm going to let you go early because you say, well, good Lord, this isn't early. Well, it's early for me. Because I sure do want you to come back. Kenneth, would you dismiss?